We begin a special series on Russia today, about young Russians specifically. Generation Putin, the Russians who've pretty much known only Vladimir Putin as their leader. I went to Russia recently to report this, and my partner producer was Daniel Offman. Hey, Daniel.
Hey, Marco.
I got to say, you were the perfect guide for this assignment.
Yeah, well, I grew up in the U.S., but my first language is Russian. My parents are both from Moscow. They grew up in the Soviet Union. They came here in the early 90s, just before I was born. But the Russia that they left behind is completely different from the Russia that we saw during our trip.
We're going to start today with a story about volunteering. John F. Kennedy, of course, had the line on that.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
He said that in the spirit of getting young Americans involved in service, right? Well, the same thing is starting to happen in Russia now, but not because the Kremlin is pulling a JFK. It's because the Kremlin is absent in many areas of civil society. So today we're going to meet two very different groups of people that we spoke with on our trip.
Yeah, we visited something called WoofFest, which is this event where volunteers were trying to get people in Moscow to adopt stray animals. Illustration number two, and a big contrast here, the Committee Against Torture. These volunteers are shining a light on a problem, the problem of violence on inmates and detainees in Russia. And in both examples, the government is essentially absent. So activists and volunteers have to step in.
So our first day in Moscow, we went to this community center. There's a Sunday farmers market out back. And inside the center...
What is the onomatopoeic for a dog barking in Russian? Is it wolf?
No.
What
it's guff guff.
Wolf Fest was in full swing. This day it wasn't about dogs, it was cat day at Wolf Fest. It looked like an animal shelter, but with pizzazz. Wolf is an NGO, a non-governmental organization, so most of their funding comes from grants and donations. Today, though, the organizers had also gotten sponsors like Purina and Fresh Step Litter to help out. There was even this kind of cat adoption talk show going on. Each time a cat got adopted, the scoreboard was updated, and the MC of the event would sit down with the new cat owners for a quick interview.
Вы счастливы? Какие мысли в голове сейчас вообще? Я не знаю.
The MC thanks the new cat owners and pushes the crowd to adopt more cats. There were dozens of WOOF volunteers who helped organize the event. This is Arina Malinovska.
Наш фестиваль является реально большим шансом для того, чтобы большее количество кошек заметили.
Our festival really increases the chances of more cats and dogs being noticed and adopted.
Налажена, скажем так, атмосфера.
There's this great atmosphere out here of kindness. It's like a mini holiday. That's why more pets are adopted during these events compared with adoptions directly from shelters.
Arena is only 20 years old, but she's been volunteering with WOOF for a while.
So you've been doing this since you were 15. Why spend hours of your life not making any money to take care of animals?
My volunteering story started when I adopted a dog from a shelter. I understood that even I can help make a difference and that it's not as hard as it seems. I understood that if I don't do this, no one will do it for me. All the volunteers here think this way. They say, if not me, then who?
I'd heard about the roundup and euthanizing of stray dogs in the southern Russian city of Sochi before the Olympics in 2014, so Wolf Fest was an encouraging sign. Here was a group of volunteers determined to do something about this stray animal problem, and they're actually able to make a difference. You remember, according to the event organizers, Daniel, about one-third of the animals get adopted as a result of events like Wolf Fest.
Right, and this may not seem like a big deal, but it is. For us growing up in the U.S., the idea of helping out at a shelter, visiting an old age home, or assisting at a soup kitchen is normal. This was not always the case, though, in Russia. Volunteering in this form simply wasn't a thing. But the sense that we got from someone like Arina is that, especially in big cities like Moscow, volunteering these days is actually cool.
The history of Russian civil society and civil activity is a subject for a good 1.5-hour lecture or a good scientific article.
This is Ekaterina Shulman. How would you describe her?
She's a highly regarded political scientist based in Moscow who knows a lot about volunteerism and civil society in Russia. She believes that this volunteering trend started in the mid-2000s, when many Russians were starting to feel more financially secure than they did back in the 90s.
Another trend that facilitated this process was the information revolution, the cheapness and therefore the affordability of mobile phones, which helps people to connect and stay together, to share their views, and then to discover that they have common interests.
And then in 2010, she said, another shift, two big natural disasters in Russia, catastrophic floods and wildfires. Regular citizens dealing with these disasters realized what they were doing was actually more effective than what the government had to offer.
This was exactly the moment when the growing Russian civil society met the corrupt and low-effective state and discovered that first state didn't have enough resources, commitment, values, just plain money. Since then, kind of quantity became quality.
So as a result, Shulman says this is the reality that the Russian state has created.
It desires to kind of outsource a number of social responsibilities which it cannot or is not willing to undertake to NGOs.
That's on one hand. And on the other,
the state wants to absolutely control anything that resembles or threatens to become political activity.
They want control. They don't want to get embarrassed by a bunch of nosy volunteers.
Which brings us to the Committee Against Torture. And for that, we traveled from Moscow to the city of Nizhny Novgorod.
Station, Nizhny Novgorod.
We arrive at the train station. We make our way towards the city center. Nizhny Novgorod has its own Kremlin, like the one in Moscow, and it so happened that we got there in the middle of a military rehearsal for the annual Victory Day parade. The triumph of the Soviet Union over the Nazi occupation in 1944. When we were in Nizhny, tanks were rolling through the street. Thousands of troops, male and female, from what seemed to be every branch of the Russian armed forces. Against this backdrop, we have an appointment on the other side of the city to meet with the head of the Committee Against Torture.
The Committee Against Torture has been around Russia for 19 years now. It's an independent NGO that investigates torture cases and helps torture victims across Russia. The idea is to hold the government accountable because in many cases, the government just ignores these cases. As a result, the committee is under constant pressure. And since 2012, that pressure has only increased.
What happened in 2012?
Well, that's when Russia passed something called the Foreign Agent Law. And even though the committee isn't foreign, the law says they engage in, quote, political activity, and therefore have to register as foreign agents. The pressures even led to violence. For example, the committee has offices in Chechnya that have been destroyed on multiple occasions. That's one case from the summer of 2015. Masked men in this video are using sledgehammers on the building. Broken glass is everywhere, and onlookers cheer on as another masked man rips away at a security camera.
Yeah, and as we found out, it's really this culture of impunity that prompted Igor Kolyapin to fight it. He's the director of the Committee Against Torture.
У нас везде в Российской Федерации не очень хорошо с законностью.
Here in Russian Federation, we have problems with lawfulness. There is this idea that the law is one sphere and the real life is another.
Kolyapin's story is the story of the Committee Against Torture, what they do and what they want Russian society to be.
I
was always an individualist since I was a child. This is part of my personality. I support teamwork, discipline, institutions, government, but I've always believed that this is all in place for individual freedom.
Igor was in his 20s when the Soviet Union fell and he went into business. For him, that was his freedom in the new post-Soviet Russia. But quickly, things shifted.
Fire inspectors, sanitation inspectors, other inspectors would show up like every day to businesses. and they would basically threaten them. They would say, give me this amount of money, give me a piece of your business, give me some of your products, or else you won't pass your inspection.
Basically, it was an extortion racket, pure and simple. Igor says it was a new cancer that was taking over Russia. So he, a couple of his business friends, and some up-and-coming politicians started the Nizhny Novgorod Society of Human Rights. They would help anyone who ran into problems with corrupt officials. But then Igor found himself in trouble.
В один прекрасный день меня задержали сотрудники полиции.
One day, out of the blue, I got arrested by the police. I got accused of stealing a crazy amount of money. I was beaten 24 hours straight. They beat me to pulp. The policeman beat me so bad that later the prison refused to accept me.
That was the winter of 1992. Igor was kept in solitary confinement for 3 months, and then he was set free. All the charges were dropped. While he was in prison, though, his business had collapsed. But he says he had an epiphany. Igor mentioned that when he first started making real money as a businessman, his dream was to have a beautiful home with a helipad. But after his experience with the police,
я больше не хочу иметь дом или вертолет.
I no longer wanted to own a home or a helicopter, knowing that I live in a country where at any moment the authorities can just show up and take everything away from you, while beating your head in and forcing you to confess to something that you didn't actually do. I can do without a helicopter or all those other things. What became important to me is knowing that I'm fighting against this.
And that's when he founded the Committee Against Torture.
There is a federal agency called the Investigative Committee of Russia that's supposed to do just that, investigate cases of torture. But according to Igor, there are a couple of big problems. First, most victims simply don't report their cases. And second, for those who do report, the vast majority of them are rejected outright by the agency.
If you go to the website for the Committee Against Torture, there's a running tally of successful cases. So their work has established 194 cases of torture and led to convictions for 144 officials on charges of torture and other illegal use of force. Considering that all these cases could easily have been rejected by officials in the courts, 144 convictions is pretty astounding. But there's a catch. This is not an annual statistic. It's a result of 19 years of work. Igor knows the committee could do more. They could work on a case-by-case basis and probably help more people. But Igor wants real systemic change. That's how he thinks of his volunteerism. It's the only way he can imagine his work having any sustainable effect, just like the good folks we met at the Wolf Fest. As Igor explains, it's all about fighting for change to the whole system.
Каждая организация, каждая, поверьте, сейчас в России вот такое время, когда каждая организация, чем бы она ни занималась,
every organization right now in Russia, no matter what they work on, have to make a choice. Whether it's the environment, cats, dogs, they all have to make a choice. It's not about the torture. We have many problems here in Russia. We have problems with animals, with trash, with environment, with everything. Now, if you work on cleaning lawns, you won't have problems. But if you ask, damn it, why are the lawns so messed up and dirty? Why are the trees being cut down in the cities where people can't breathe? Why are we polluting our lakes? If you ask these questions publicly, you are screwed. Cats, dogs, doesn't matter. You will immediately become a foreign agent. You will be accused of God knows what, to the point where they can just throw you in jail.
Вы немедленно станете иностранным агентом, вас обвинят черти в чем, и вплоть до того, что посадить могут.
It is really hard to imagine dealing with that kind of constant pressure. Just imagine what that must feel like if you're a young activist working in politics in Russia.
Right, and that's exactly what we're going to find out tomorrow.
The world's Daniel Offman there. He produced our series this week on the generation of Russians who've known only Vladimir Putin as their leader. Our thanks also to reporter and producer Charles Maines in Moscow.